You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Oh, man. I watched the last two games with, like, a really chill Bears fan, and he told me a good Jay Cutler story. He's like, one of my best friends, his brother is, like, out drinking, and he goes into the bathroom, and in the stall right next to him is Jay Cutler. And, his friend had gone to high school with Jay Cutler, right? So he tells him that. He's like, oh, dude, you remember this guy? Like, oh, yeah, I know that name. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys went to high school together. And Cutler, who is also drunk, just goes, who cares?
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another playoff edition of Pack to the Future podcast. I am the host, John Jameson. Boy, oh boy, the Packers are looking like a team on a mission. They are playing some football that I haven't seen in a very long time from this team. And I will tell you what, number 12 is playing out of his mind. The defense looked pretty decent, and just as a team, they're playing like a team with heart. I mean, I was watching the game. And a lot of teams could have, we went for it on fourth down, don't get the fourth down. Two plays later, they score, makes it a one-point game. A lot of teams would have lost heart, but this Packer team said, no, we're not losing heart. We're coming back stronger and better than ever. And they just completely took over that game after that failed fourth down attempt and let that touchdown. One-point game didn't scare them at all. We got momentum back on our side, and we took care of business. Coming up next, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about that. But first, let's meet our intellects. Brian Fonfara, you are intellect number one tonight. How are you?
I'm real good. I love being intellect number one. I'm really proud of that.
I said tonight, so.
I'm super pumped about next week, where essentially the Packers are taking a vacation to Westworld. Okay, for those who don't watch the show, first of all, get HBO and watch it. Second, the whole premise of Westworld is you take a vacation to a simulation of the Wild West where all these cowboys are there and they're like, it's impossible for them to actually harm you. So Packers going to the Wild West to see a bunch of cowboys who can't physically harm them. So boom, Packers going to the Wild West, Westworld.
Nice.
And Jordan Peck.
That's me.
Welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Victory Monday, always fantastic. I'm sitting on my yacht in Miami Beach right now, having a great time. it's a good day. I can't blame Odell. This is fantastic. I'm loving this.
Jordan, this is not an off day.
It's always an off day.
It's not an off day. Pack to the Future is a full-time job.
Yes, right.
It's the fullest of jobs. You go to it and your heart leaves you full. And it is a full-time job, too, at the same time as far as the hours go. So,
that's terrible.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Terrible. Thank you. hopefully, I'll be here next week for the fullest job I can ever ask for. And Dusty, how are you tonight, my man?
I'm good, man. I'm doing really, really good. Yeah, like I said, that was a big game, man. Like, not only did they win, But it was stressful for a little bit. We got the close game vibes. We got the huge play at the end of the half. And then we got to see Rodgers go absolutely supernova. Like, just a really, really great win in Lambeau. I could not be more excited.
I mean, how many more times can we possibly... Has any of you guys heard a stat if Rodgers has, like, the most completed Hail Marys in like, NFL history yet? Or has anyone heard that? Anything? Nope. Anything along those lines?
He's three for his last three. Like, that's pretty good.
They did show a stat last night, I think, on either ESPN about, you know, the odds of actually landing one. They said it was, I think, 6 out of 35. 6 of the last 35 Hail Mary attempts have been completed in the NFL. High.
And 3 of them are his?
And three of them are his, yeah. Wow. Wow.
So, the Rodgers stat is impressive. Wow. I was surprised there's been that many Hail Marys. I was trying to think of them. I mean, if they count the Lions one to Bolden last week, if that's a Hail Mary, I guess it was a Hail Mary.
Yeah, I wonder how far out you have to be for it to be considered a Hail Mary.
Or just
because like, that was like, seemed like an all-out go route.
Because he chucked it up, so it was kind of a Hail Mary, but it was really only like a 35-yard route. So
there has to be 10 men in a 5-square-foot radius for it to be a Hail Mary in the end zone.
And Calvin Johnson has to be on the bench for some reason.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And Ziggy Ansah just kind of like just wanders around for a while. Like Ziggy
Ansah's Giants
like
did it too. They left Odell Beckham on the bench for that Hail Mary, and after the game said we thought about putting him out there.
Well, he was probably just.
What
really
do you mean
sad.
You thought about it?
He was probably really, really sad. Like he just didn't really want to go out there. He was feeling bad.
He would have dropped it. He'd have dropped it.
Yeah, he
would. Too soon. Like, too soon.
No,
that's
soon enough.
That's like the best. That's like the best vague answer ever in sports. We thought about it.
Thought about it.
Everywhere Giants fans are like, oh, well, at least they thought about it. You know? I feel better, McAdoo. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, guys, well, special treat for you. I feel like I say that almost every week now just because we're trying to bring you the latest and newest technologies in podcasting. So our newest and latest technological advancement is actually going to be Brian recording through AutoTune our coin toss questions. So
I really want to do that now.
We're changing the game. So Brian,
the game.
Take it away on our coin toss segment.
We are innovators here. So what we're going to be doing is John wants to get more involved with these coin tosses. So we're kind of alternating. So this is my week off. So if anybody should be on the boat in Miami, Jordan, it should be me.
Well, then get down here, man.
Just saying.
There's room for two.
I got to say, Brian does not sound like T-Pain at all. I don't know. This technology is just garbage. Just rubbish.
It's a John, big blue John said he wrote the code for it. So.
Posada!
All right, here we go. Coin toss number one. Jordan against John. So the young gun getting right into it again. All right, we're talking offense. We're talking no Jordy Nelson, most likely, for this week. 2 fractured ribs. I'd be thunderstruck if he found his way into the starting lineup. So what I want to know is, can the offense put up similar numbers, similar production without Jordy Nelson this week? Okay, so Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, yes, they can. If it's tails, no, they can't. It is heads. The offense can produce that well without Jordy. Go.
There's a couple reasons for this. I mean, first of all, Jordy, I think, got hurt early second quarter in the game against the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. Up to that point, the offense wasn't playing particularly well. He got hurt, and for whatever reason, after that happened, you know, Rodgers and the receivers started clicking. Rodgers had a little bit more room in the pocket to move around. He was finding open guys. Now, I don't believe that there is a correlation between Jordy getting hurt and our offense playing well. I don't think that's true at all. But it certainly showed that we can play well without him out there. Obviously, the resurgence of Cobb, having him back after a few weeks, that was, I mean, clearly massive. 100 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, no one, I don't think anybody really would have predicted that kind of performance from Cobb. That was a welcome sight. Mm-hmm. He looked dangerous. He looked very dangerous out there. Devonta Adams played well. I mean, you can't compare this to last year's game against the Cardinals in the playoffs. This team has a lot more weapons. We actually have a legit tight end to throw to downfield that they have to worry about. Like I said, Adams, Cobb, Geronimo Allison's been playing well at the end part of the regular season. And not to mention, if this offensive line continues to pass protect the way they have the past couple weeks, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Two straight weeks, they've given Rodgers over 8 seconds to throw, and he's found a guy for a touchdown. Mm. You don't need Jordy Nelson out there for that to happen. If the line continues to do that, this offense is going to be explosive again. They're going to be able to put up 30-plus points on the Cowboys if that's the case. So do we need Jordy? I would argue that we do not.
All right. And now John gets to play the role of negative Nancy. John, what you got?
I mean, obviously the Packers are going to experience a little bit of a drawback without 87 on the field. And that's all I got. So I'm just kidding. I will go deeper than that. I was going to just wait for Brian to say, all right, you won, but no, I'll go deeper. I will go deeper, guys. And here's a fact. We're talking about the same output as, you know, a 38-point game. Obviously, the Packers were absolutely on fire, and it all seemed to happen after Jordy went out. So, I mean, that I know that's kind of going – it's going with what Jordan just said. But, I mean, without Jordy, you're taking away the red zone area of effectiveness, and he's one of Rodgers' go-to guys. And to say that the Packers are going to score – you know, in the high 30s every single game. Obviously, they're clicking on all cylinders. But unproven players like Geronimo Allison and even Devontae Adams can be a little bit streaky at times. And then Randall Cobb is fresh off an injury. So we're banking on three guys that, you know, are just kind of, you know, coming into their element when, you know, 87 has been a Pro Bowler and Aaron Rodgers' go-to guy for a little bit. So, I mean, there's obviously going to be some drawback from their productiveness. And that's how I'm going to leave it.
All right. I'm guessing there were good points on both sides, but my internet actually cut out while John was making his point. So I can't fairly judge his. So I'm declaring Jordan the winner of that round.
Oh,
woo!
I mean, fair is fair.
Mm. I think do we know for sure that Jordan didn't sabotage Brian's router during that thing?
I mean, if John wanted to win...
He's already done it once.
He has already done it so. Once.
Well, Brian, your winner has been chosen, so I'm living with it.
I mean,
so.
John, if you wanted the point, you should have made sure I had better internet. So
guys, I'm partying with Paul Allen on this yacht down here, and I may have asked him to do a hack, so I just want to be up straight up front with you guys.
All right.
Hey, congratulations, Jordan.
Moving on, John, you get an immediate chance to redeem yourself here as you go up against Dusty, and this time we're talking defense. I've seen a lot of credit given to Dom Capers and the defense for their performance Sunday night, and what I want to know from you two, is the defense going to be good enough to propel us to a Super Bowl run? Are they good enough? So, John, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, they're good enough. If it's tails, they aren't. And it is tails. You got to go negative again, John. Rip this defense a new one.
Boy, ripping this defense a new one, that seems like the route I would kind of like to take. I mean, they have been making some decent plays and stuff like that. The turnovers are good, but, I mean, the yards... They've allowed a lot of yards per games. I mean, I think over the last few games, I think that these quarterbacks have just gone a little bit crazy against us. Obviously, we're going up against. I'm gonna kind of keep mine focused on this week because I mean we're at a point right now where we're taking this as a week to week basis, and I'm looking at Dallas. I mean, the last time we played Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott just went off. I want to say it was in at least the 150 area with a couple touchdowns. And I mean, we faced some average runners over the past and the run defense has been pretty decent, you know, no 100 yard rushers over the last, three games. And they've done a good job, but I mean, I just think that there's too many injuries to keep this team from excelling. The secondary is always going to be an issue where quarterbacks can pretty much have their way against these young guys. And again, it's still trying to establish a pass rush, and it seems like it's going to be too much. And Hopefully 12 can just keep carrying us with the offense.
Dusty, your rebuttal.
I mean, yeah, I think they'll be good enough. I mean, we saw this. I don't want to bring up 2010, but I'm going to bring up 2010. They picked a lot of balls off. They forced a lot of turnovers. And we're seeing with this team this year, and like the numbers are up lately. They forced 15 over their last five, which is an incredible number. And they weren't doing that early. And you could point to that and say, well, they weren't. Like, it's kind of a fluky thing. They were getting their hands on a lot of passes early in the season. They weren't hanging on to them. We kind of figured at some point that was going to regress. They were going to start hanging on to them. They're hanging on to them. I mean, like John said, I mean, the secondary isn't great. They're always going to give up some plays. But, I mean, this matchup, like, I kind of like this matchup based on from the secondary where we sit. I mean, Gunter on Odell Beckham Jr., should not have worked that well, and if it wasn't for a couple drop passes, it was not going to work very well. Gunter does not have the speed, the shiftiness to keep up with Beckham, but I think he can actually hang with Bryant. Like, he's big enough, he's long enough, he's got long arms, like, not a ton of speed, but enough to stay with a guy like Bryant. Like, I think this week is going to match up really well with their secondary. Now, John was talking about the running game, and I mean, I have not gone back to listen to the one we did earlier this year with Dallas, but that's exactly what we said. They went into that game, I think, with like a 2 yards per carry against rush. We said, well, if they can hold Ezekiel Elliott. Well, they didn't hold Ezekiel Elliott. But that defense is playing better now. I mean, Daniels is a monster. Dean Lowry's come on a little bit. Guyon's been playing better in the run game. Perry's back, playing pretty well, even with that club on his hand. Matthews is playing pretty well. That front seven seems to be playing at a higher level than they were back when we played Dallas the first time. So, I mean, yeah, like, we're going to need turnovers. And you can always say, well, you might not get those. But the way this defense is playing, like, they have a chance, it seems like, every game. They have a chance to grab two or three turnovers. All they have to do is capitalize on them. And they've been doing that lately. And I think they're going to continue that. So there are holes. They are going to give us some big plays. But I think they'll be fine. I think the defense is going to show up again this week.
All right. Well, I guess to be fair to John, I need to give him one. And he did get to talk against the defense and against Dom Capers. And I always like to hear anti-Dom Capers talk. So, John,
bias, man.
Congratulations.
Bias.
You got
I was playing a little bit of a side of it where I was like, I'm going to see if I can get through talking negative about the defense and not saying Dom Capers' name. And see if you'll still give me the win. And I just pulled it off, guys. That's because I brought the heat, okay? My first win. Thank you, Brian.
That's John's first win. Brian. I wanted it to be from me. It shouldn't have been from anybody else, so.
But you had Jordan beat me, though, which we'll have words about that later.
Okay, but remember I gave you your first win, and remember that my birthday is in, like, 3 weeks.
Happy early birthday.
I will consider that my present.
I love it.
All right. Dusty, now you have a chance to redeem yourself for losing to John for terrible reasons.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I do that a lot. I'm on the losing end of a whole lot of these. I think I have the worst record here. Someone needs to go back and count it up. I think I have the worst record, and it's always for reasons like that. Well, I felt bad for Jordan today. Brian's eyes look really pretty. Like, stuff like that. Like, that's why I'm losing.
If that's the case, Jordan would win every
point. Right, we always feel bad for him. but maybe our producer, Josh, or Fred Thurston, who I just, you know, dump all of the stuff I don't want to do on, you know, maybe one of those two will go back and listen to all the coin tosses and see who's won the most.
Yeah, let's keep our record.
And who's lost the most for terrible reasons. We'll see. All right. Jordan and Dusty, you're talking special teams now. Unbelievable special teams play. I don't think anybody would say anything negative about the special teams play from this past week. But overall, it's been inconsistent on the year. And I want to know, is this what we're going to see? Was it a fluke? Is it going to be good enough to propel us toward a Super Bowl? You know, are we going to have Desmond Howard level return game and all that good stuff? All right. So, Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. If it is heads, you're going to tell me why they're going to be great. If it's tails, you're going to tell me why not. And it's tails. Go negative, Jordan.
This past game with the Giants, I mean, I'm watching Micah Hyde on some of these punt returns. I'm thinking, man, when's the last time this has happened? And I know I think he's had I think he's had one for a touchdown either this past season or the season prior. I can't remember to be honest with you, but it just doesn't happen that often. And I'm not sure exactly where it came from. That kind of tells me that in terms of the return game, I don't see that being really, I don't see us really making a huge impact in the punt return game. I mean, anything's possible. I mean, he makes a good cut, guy slips. I mean, stuff like that can happen. You look at the rankings with special teams. I mean, Dallas is a top 10 special teams unit. Packers are not. So where the impact can really happen with the Packers on special teams is in the punt game. There's been a lot of criticism of Shum. He had a couple good ones. He got kind of lucky on one yesterday. I don't know. The guy is just so inconsistent. It worries me every time he goes back to punt. It'd be nice to know that a guy's just going to bomb at 50 yards, especially in a dome that he's going to be playing in this weekend. And you just can't count on it. The only guy you can really count on at this point is Crosby. But I mean, Crosby's not a huge impact guy unless he has 350 yarders that he hits in. I just don't see in the return game really making that big of an impact. It's tough to predict. Special teams is such a weird thing to predict. So the fact that they had a good game against the Giants kind of tells me that they're due for a regression against the Cowboys. I just don't think it's going to be a unit that can really make a difference in us winning this game this weekend.
Dusty, a word in edgewise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always kind of liked Hyde in the punt return game. He seems like a guy who he knows his limitations. Like, he's not fast and he's not overly shifty. So he's not just running around. He's not dancing back there. He tries to make a couple moves. He gets upfield. He sees what he can get. And that's really what you need out of the punt return game. I don't want someone who's like just running 15 yards backward, just trying to make something happen, Devin Hester style. Like, Hyde gets what he gets, and he's always been good at that. He doesn't always get big returns, but usually gets some, he'll break off some decent ones from time to time. The last big one I was thinking of, which kind of proves your point, I guess, Jordan, I remember 2013, Matt Flynn in Pittsburgh, the Rodgers injury season. He took like a 70 yarder back to the 2 yard line, I think. But he's capable of that. And he's not going to give the ball up on special teams. So that's good. But I mean, also if we're talking return game, I think they left Cobb out of their return game, this week because they were unsure about his injury. With his shiftiness and the explosiveness that we saw out of him, I can imagine seeing him say a big punt return in the second half. Cobb's going to be back there, and we know what he's capable of. It's not just going to be Hyde. They've got some different guys they can go to. We also saw Janis returning kicks, which was awesome because, again, he's a guy who he does like one thing really well. He just runs really fast in a straight line, kind of like an alligator. Like, just that's all he can do. And on a kick return, that's all you want. Again, like, you don't want dancing. Just get what you can get. And we saw that. And I mean, the other thing we saw out of Janis this week, we talked early this season, before the season probably, about how he just, was he worth keeping on just for a special teams guy? If he wasn't going to make an impact in the offense. And he's been so far this year. Man, he showed out this week. I mean, he was gunning. He was tackling everyone that was down there. As soon as they caught the ball, if it wasn't on a fair catch, he's down there. He's in their face. He's jumping on their back. It's like a little spider monkey just grabbing on their back and taking them down. So, I mean, the coverage on special teams was dynamite. I see that keeping up. The return game, like I said, Janis and the kick return, if he just gets upfield, he can do that. Punt return, you got Hyde can maybe make some plays. Cobb can make some plays. I really do think the special teams, I don't know they're going to be as good as they looked this past week, but I mean, this is as good a special team unit as we've seen in a while. Maybe not saying much, but I mean, they are very, very good.
Dusty, you brought up Jeff Janis. So by default, you get the win.
I thought I was going to pick up the loss. I don't like talking about it unless I have to.
You brought up the Lord and Savior, Jeff Janis. So
that's true.
Point to Dusty.
So Jordan just lost one on a bad point as well. So we're even now,
what
Jordan.
Do you mean a bad point? He lost because of Jeff Janis. Jeez. Jordan, Jeff Janis
do? What do you have to say for yourself?
I think us declaring winners of these coin tosses is just kind of pointless. We should just talk football.
Somebody
ate some salty flakes.
All these flavors, and I choose to be salty.
I gotta talk to David Gruber, see if he can hook us up with like a judge for this.
Jordan, is that Haterade you're drinking?
Just the one call.
Is that Hans Gruber's brother? Is that other one? The one not from Die Hard 3? Is that his other brother?
Could be.
So wait, that means all of us won a point tonight. So who's the overall winner?
The overall winner is me. Because I'm the judge and fair. I can make anybody the winner I want. So I'm the only one who didn't lose a coin toss tonight.
Brian did undefeated. Go undefeated. He is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Boom.
I just pictured Brian a little bit more selfless than that, but I mean,
no,
I never do, never have.
You know, get him in his first position of authority, and you'll see the true colors. So
first position of authority. Don't talk to your boss that way, John.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll work double time next week.
Yeah, damn right you will.
Do you want me to do the intro and sponsor? And man, all that talk about the green and gold just has me feeling like I should be wearing some green and gold right now. Jordan, is there a particular clothing company that sells green and gold shirts?
John, it is funny you ask. There just happens to be a clothing company that fulfills all the needs you're talking about. Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Our buddy Fred Thurston's clothing company, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Guys, we've been talking about them all year. And just in case you weren't aware, Packers season is not over. We have another game. So in case you're still, you didn't do it for Christmas, you didn't do it for quite the end of the season, you know, you still got some time to get your fresh new Packer apparel. Check out prideandglory63.com. A lot of great shirts, sweatshirts, hats, wristbands. Everything you could want to be sporting for these playoff games. So check out prideandglory63.com. That's prideandglory63.com. All right, and with us this week is Joseph Hatchipaniotis. Joseph, how are we doing this week, my man?
Very good, very good. It's good to talk to you guys again. I remember the first time we talked, I mentioned that it might not be the last time, you know. So it's good to be back.
you were exactly right, and this is exactly what the NFL wanted. I think Packer fans are excited to play you guys. This is going to be a great matchup. I already can't wait for Sunday. I got a couple questions for you. The first one, when you talk about the Cowboys, obviously you're going to start talking about your rookies. You're going to talk about Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott. What I'm curious is about is the fan base in Dallas. How do they feel about Prescott with as good of a season as he's had and as efficient as he's led this offense? How do you feel about him going into his first playoff game with, I mean, quite honestly, most of the pressure on him? I mean, Dallas is the one seed. They're playing at home. They're expected to make the Super Bowl. How are you guys feeling about that?
Well, I think the best way to characterize it would be cautious optimism. You know, Prescott is surprised at every turn. Nobody expected him to come in and have the team in first place, you know, before Romo came back. And then nobody expected him to actually replace Romo, to end up being the number one seed, home field advantage. Nobody expected any of that. So I think there's a lot of optimism, but everybody knows he's a rookie. Everybody knows a rookie quarterback has never made the Super Bowl, let alone won it. So I wouldn't say all the pressure is necessarily on Dallas. I mean, I have no idea, obviously, what the mentality is in the locker room. But from the fans' perspective, to expect a Super Bowl, given the circumstances, with it never having been done before, is probably a bit too much. So,
okay. Also, with Prescott, too, I mean, he has not played meaningful minutes now since week 16, which once Sunday comes around will be 3 weeks. Is that any bit of a concern for Dallas, you think?
I think it is a concern. Earlier in the year, coming off the bye week, the first game was Philadelphia at home, Sunday night game, and Prescott was arguably had his worst game of the year up until the second Giants game in New York, and he really didn't get it going until the fourth quarter. So I have no clue if you know, the bye had something to do with that, if the Eagles, you know, scheme had something to do with that. It could have been anything. But the fact remains that coming off that bye, he did struggle, and we'll just have to see what happens on Sunday. I would like to say, as far as Elliott in the running, or as far as Elliott being a rookie, I don't think that's a concern at all for most Cowboy fans. He has a history at Ohio State of being a big game player, elevating his play when the competition rises, when the games are the most important. You know, he had three straight 200-yard games to end his sophomore season, leading them to the BCS championship. So I don't think that's a concern, but with a rookie quarterback, you never know what could happen. So that's definitely probably where most of the concern lies.
I would tend to agree. I mean, yeah, you talk about a running back. You want that position, particularly him, with as good as he's been. You want him rested up, and he's rested up. He's going to be in good shape for Sunday. That's, you know, obviously the biggest concern for Packers and their defense, no question about it. To kind of go to the other side of it, how is Dallas feeling about having to go up against Aaron Rodgers right now? I mean, Aaron Rodgers' historical performance, 350, four touchdowns. I mean, he's arguably playing the best football of his career, and now Dallas is up next. How are you guys feeling about that?
I wouldn't say it's the best football of his career, but it's not far off. You know,
it's close. About, it's close.
Yeah, he's 33 years old now, right? So he has about maybe five, six years left. So
yeah.
5 years until 5 years after you retire is when you're first eligible for the Hall of Fame. And I'm pretty sure in about 10, 11 years, he's going to be in. So facing a first ballot future Hall of Famer is never ideal in the playoffs, especially with a rookie quarterback. So, yeah, it's not an ideal situation. But I do think there is an argument that the Packers are a completely different team than they were earlier in the year at this point. Rodgers is certainly playing better than he did earlier in the year. But let me throw out a couple stats for you real quick and see if you can kind of guess what this is. All right. These are two separate games earlier this season. 326 yards passing, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And then 246 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Those are two separate games earlier this season. Can you guess who they played or when that happened or when those games were?
Man, oh, man, dude. This is good. This is good. I know one of the games in our four-game stretch, he had a great one. Oh, man. It wasn't the Titans. I don't think it was the Colts. Falcons is one of those games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Falcons is one of those games. Man, I'm drawing a blank on the other one. I don't think it was Dallas.
It was Chicago. It was Chicago.
Chicago. There you go.
The game after the Cowboy game.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, he obviously was not playing as well at that point. He wasn't pushing the ball as downfield as much as he is now. He wasn't as accurate. Obviously, he had a couple of interceptions earlier in the year, but he was not terrible earlier this season. And then a lot of people are talking about, you know, you get Adams going, you get Cobb going. Obviously Nelson is a long shot to play. Adams and Cobb had huge games the game before and after the Cowboy game earlier this season. So yes, the offense is better. Yes, Rodgers is playing better, but it's not night and day in my opinion. And the Cowboys defense did a very good job against them in Green Bay. And on top of that, the Cowboys only had two pure cornerbacks in the second half because Morris Claiborne was out, Orlando Scandrick was out. So they were down to Brandon Carr, the rookie Anthony Brown, and Byron Jones, who was their starting safety, coming down to play corner. So it's not going to be easy, but I certainly don't think it's impossible. And I think a lot of people are kind of forgetting that Rodgers still played well earlier in the year. He was not – you know, this is not Ryan Tannehill that we were talking about in September and October. So
it is not. No, that's true.
Yeah, and another thing,
please.
A lot. Looking at the four-game losing streak that you guys had, you know, in most of those games, you guys were putting up 25, 30 points. You mentioned the Atlanta game; it was 33-32 in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta is the number two seed. Yeah, they've been playing great. You guys could have very easily won that game. You had control of the game for the most part. That was the first game that you lost of that losing streak. And the last game of the losing streak, you guys lost to the Redskins. I think Rodgers had about three touchdowns, no interceptions, 300 or so yards. You guys lost 42, I believe, to 24. Yeah. So a lot of those losses had more to do with the other team's offense controlling the game, putting points on the board. You know, your offense was not quite as good, but it was still putting up 25, 30-ish points a game. So I think a lot of the recent streak, if you look at a lot of the teams that the Packers have played, you know, of course, Rodgers, nothing you can take away from him. But if you look at the offenses that they've played, you know, Houston, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, the Giants. Giants haven't scored 20 points in about a month and a half. I think that has a lot to do with it, too.
It definitely does. I mean, that's kind of been the big criticism of our, you know, six-game winning streak to close out the year was there was only about one, you know, real legitimate win on. I mean, I don't want to say legitimate, but, you know, we took it to the Seahawks. That was easily the most impressive one. But, yeah, you're talking about offenses. We weren't going up against juggernauts. This is true. Now you bring up the four-game losing streak. I mean, Falcons. That was a toss-up game. No question. We could have easily won that game. Yep. And but the only reason, I don't want to say the only reason, but a big reason Rodgers' stats were big in the other couple games. You mentioned the Redskins, even the Titans and the Colts. He played all right. Was because we were down double digits right away in the first half.
That was true.
It's a bit skewed. But I mean, you're right. It's not. He's had worse streaks in his career. I mean, you look at the second half of last year. No question about it. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, right now, he's playing great. It's Dallas. It's on the road. I mean, if he can do what he did against the New York Giants defense, I like his chances against New York. But, you know, it's a new game. It's a new day. Like, well, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, you never know how a game goes. You know, you on the road, if the Cowboys can't run the ball, you know, if a couple of possessions. I mean, look, against the Giants, you guys had 7 points, 6 seconds left in the half, and then, you know, you throw up a prayer, and it comes down, and that completely turns the game. After that, Rodgers is hot, you know, going down the field. Before, I'm sitting here looking at the Giants thinking it's 2007 again, you know. You never know how a game goes. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for sure.
I'm hoping we don't have to rely on another Hail Mary in Dallas, but we'll. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be too upset.
Yeah.
All right, Joseph. Just give me one or two keys you think to the game for Dallas to win, and then give me a score prediction, bud.
Okay. I got two things. First of all, they have to dominate in both the run game, offensively and defensively. Offensively, obvious. You know, you have to have Elliott controlling the clock, you know, controlling the down and distance. That's key. Everybody knows that. But also on the other side of the ball, the Cowboys have the number one ranked rush defense in terms of yards allowed. They're top 10 in terms of yards allowed per carry. They have to get Green Bay into third down and medium to long where they can bring in extra defensive backs. They can bring blitzes from different angles, kind of stunt linemen, bring linebackers looping around, bring defensive backs off the edge, that kind of thing. So they cannot allow the Packers to get into second and four, third and two, that kind of stuff. I'd also say they have to keep Rodgers in the pocket as much as they can. I would, you know, obviously they have to get pressure on him, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, they have to get 4 or 5 sacks. I would be happy with a little bit of push in the pocket in the middle, kind of getting in his face a little bit, and then having the edge contained by the defensive ends, not letting him get outside of the tackle box. Because as you guys know, that's when he's at his most dangerous, and that's when most of his big plays come. So those would be two of the biggest things that I would say Cowboys need to do.
You mentioned edge contain. I mean, that was what the Giants did a great job of in the first quarter. I mean, he had nowhere to go. And with that, he had nowhere to throw. I mean, that definitely loosened up as the game went on. So if Dallas is able to do that, it could be a long day for the Packers. I agree.
One thing I will say is the Cowboys do have better edge rushers. No way. Giants obviously have much better edge rushers than Vernon. But I do think the Cowboys have better interior rushers. The Giants have Damon Harrison. He's an all-pro defensive tackle, but he's more of a run stuffer. They don't really have kind of a penetrating defensive tackle. The Cowboys have a rookie, Maliet Collins. He has 5 sacks as a rookie. David Irving had the big game against Tampa Bay. He had the big game against you guys, too. He can play defensive end, defensive tackle, and also Tyrone Crawford. So I think that's something that could make a difference in comparing at least the two defenses.
Very good, very good. So what when it comes down to it, final score, what do you think is happening in this game?
Oh, man, you know, I'll say, look, the way I do this is when if I'm actually going to put money on a game, I think to myself, if my life was literally on the line, I mean, I know this is a bit dramatic, but if my life was literally on the line, where would I go? And in this situation, I would not want to bet my life on a rookie quarterback up against a future Hall of Famer. So I would say 27-24 Packers. But I would like to note the first time I was on, I also picked the Packers. So we'll see how it goes the second time.
That doesn't make me confident at all, Joe. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
Joe, where can our listeners find you on the internet, your stuff, on Twitter, social media? Where can they find you at?
Yeah, I'm a front page writer for Blogging the Boys. It's a SB Nation Cowboys site. And I'm also on Twitter at Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, Hats.
Fantastic, Joseph. It was glad to have you. We're glad to have you back. Looking forward to the game. Should be a good one, bud. Have a good rest of the week, man.
And now we are back to our coverage of the green and gold, the red hot Green Bay Packers. Brian, we are going up against some quote unquote America's team this week. And I mean, I feel like if the Packers win, We should take that. And what do the Packers have to do to win this game?
Here we go. This is what they got to do. I have 3 points this week. All right. Number one, I wouldn't even like pretend to blitz. Like maybe on a couple like third and longs or something like that. But like for the most part, we're not that good at blitzing. We're not that good at rushing the passer. So I would just rush four every single time. You know, we'll still get a sack or two, but we're going up against one of the best offensive lines, or the best overall offensive line. There might be one or two that are as good or better in pass protection, but you know, I don't see Peppers and Matthews getting the best of anybody all day long. So just hope for those big plays. I would just be on full-on run defense and containing a mobile quarterback, but we're not going to get consistent pressure against this team. It's not going to happen. So sell out, stop Ezekiel Elliott at all costs. That's the beginning of their offense. That is how they get anything done. It's by establishing the run first. So if you can marginally disrupt what he does behind that amazing run blocking offensive line, then I think we got a shot at keeping them under, you know, 80 points, we'll say. All right. Number two, I've got start Kristen Michael. I am a huge fan of Ty Montgomery. Don't get me wrong. But we're going up against yet another physical team. And against teams like that, Ty Montgomery, I don't think he's capable of establishing the run. You know, the way that somebody like a power back like Kristen Michael is able to do. I don't think Ty Montgomery can do that. If we go with Kristen Michael from the start, establish the run a little bit, establish some over-the-top throws even better, then you've got Ty Montgomery as that kind of change of pace scat back that, like, you know, you never know what running back is going to be in on what particular drive, and you can switch things up. That's when I think he's going to be his most useful against a team like the Cowboys. So I would go Kristen Michael from the start, and I'm not saying Ty should get any fewer snaps or any fewer touches, but they should be, I think, handled a little bit differently. I think Kristen Michael first, Ty Montgomery second. All right, and my third, dear Dom Capers, I've given you a lot of crap over the years. The one thing I've consistently praised you for is your ability against young quarterbacks. You're going up against a rookie in almost prime time, against the Packers in his first playoff start. Like, the lights don't get any brighter than this for a first playoff game for a rookie quarterback. So confuse him. Do whatever you got to do. Take away his first pass. I don't know what it is you're planning, but just do what I consistently give you praise for. It's the only thing I consistently give Dom Capers praise for, and I just really want him to stick with it tonight. Okay. Prediction time. I was feeling really bad about this game. Saturday night, just thinking about, you know, if we win, the scenario of going to Dallas. But then after that game, I saw an interview on NFL Network with the guys had Lil Wayne on the show. And there's a link in the description of this podcast. Click it and watch that interview if you haven't. It is fantastic. But he hit that interview gave me confidence. He talked about how he loves it when people consider us the underdog and don't believe in us, and how ridiculous he finds it that people think the Packers got this far, won 7 games in a row, only to go down to Dallas and be shut down by 2 rookies. So I'm going the confidence route. I'm going the Lil Wayne route. you know,
Wheezy F, baby.
I'm sure he's already started to write another Super Bowl song for the Packers. Wheezy F, baby. I believe because you believe. The Packers are going to win this. It's going to be close. 34-31 Packers.
You know what they say, if Wheezy doesn't lie, and
he never has in his entire life.
And if you model, and if you personally model your life after Lil Wayne, Brian, then I believe that you never lie too. And so Packers are going to win. Dusty,
there it is.
Do you have numbers?
I have some. So, fun fact, everyone, I was not planning on being on the show tonight, and then I got talked into it at like the very last minute. So, like in true fashion of not knowing you're going to do something, I did zero prep work. Oh man, I'm gonna take the week off. I'm just going to have like a nice little, you know, quiet cocktail by myself. Just enjoy my day. And then these jackasses just wrote me back in. So I was able to pull together.
I'm
going to
bet on this being the longest by the number segment to date tonight.
It might be. It's just going to be me stumbling. Just lots of humming and hawing. All right. So I was able to pull together a few. All right. So a lot of these is kind of stuff I talked about when we played the Cowboys last time. But it's been a little while. But a lot of the things still hold true. I mean, we've been playing very, very well against the run. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Not in front of me. The numbers. The Giants had 100 yards, 100-plus yards rushing in each of the last three games going into this game. And we shut them down again. And we said last week that's what we needed to do. And we did. And we made Eli beat us. And, like, Eli is just throws everything high. And it's just delightful. It was just delicious. Anyway. Cowboys run a lot, man. They attempt 31.2 rushes per game. That's tops in the league. So, and then beyond that, they have the ninth best play action offense in the league. And once again, just like earlier in the season when we talked about this, Packers have the 29th best. So Giants are top 10, and I mean, Packers are bottom 10, bottom 5 at defending. So, and that all hinges on the run. The Cowboys are very good at play action because they run so well. If the Packers can shut down this run game, or at least slow it down, not give up 5 yards a carry, the play action doesn't work off of that. It might. I mean, I guess if Blake Martinez is in there, because he just like runs 10 yards downfield every time someone acts like they're going to hand the ball off. But I'm sorry, Blake Martinez. I didn't mean it, baby. I didn't mean it. That's absolutely essential. You say that about a lot of games. The Cowboys' identity is their offensive line and their running game. Everything works off of that. If we can't slow down the run game exactly like the last time we played them, it's going to be a very, very, very long game. So we got to slow down the run game. They went for 191 yards on the ground last week. Like, I'm not even talking, like, they don't even hold them under 20. Like, if we can hold them under 100, like, just even, like, 99, if we can hold them under 100, I think we got a really, really good shot at winning this. If we don't, it's going to be a very, very, very long game. You know what? No, I got one more. So, this Giants game this past week, the Giants came into the game, according to Football Outsiders DVOA, with the fourth-ranked pass defense in the league. And for most of the first half, like, that looked pretty good. They looked every bit as good as that. Rodgers, admittedly, was missing some of his first reads and missed a couple throws downfield. But the Giants' defense was very, very good. Their pass defense is very, very good. Fourth in the league. Second half, Rodgers just went off, man. Like, just did his thing. Like, he had some guys open, but then some guys he just didn't even care if they were open. He just threw the ball into just extremely tight windows, and they somehow were completed. That's up against a very, very, very good pass defense. So, I mean, we talk about being scared of the Cowboys and their run game and what they can do off of the run game, and that's perfectly fine. But the Cowboys should also be scared of us. I think a lot of times I tend to gloss over that. I look at all the ways the other team can beat us, and sometimes I don't think about the ways that the other team should be scared of us. Even without Jordy, the Cowboys had the 18th ranked pass defense in the league per Football Outsiders. Again, the Giants were fourth. The Cowboys are 18th. Like, that's nothing. That's not awful. But Rodgers should be able to have a really, really, really good game. They're very good against the run. They're eighth against the run. But if they just can pass, as we've seen Rodgers do, they can't get off to a slow start. But I think that they're going to be able to pass. Rodgers is going to be able to throw. It's a matter of if the Packers defense get off the field. I think they'll be able to make some stops. I think Rodgers is going to have just another huge game against this pass defense. And I mean, I see no surprise. I see a Packers win. Like Brian, I'm going to go, I think it's going to be close. I'm going to go 31-27 Packers.
Have the Cowboys played a game without Randy Gregory yet since the news came down about him being suspended?
He was suspended during the bye week, I think.
The bye week. So that.
Yeah, that's right.
So this defense is going in there without one of their, you know, key front seven players, and I think that's going to prove crucial to this game personally. And I see the Packers as the hottest team in the NFL, the team to beat, and I honestly think it's going to be a two touchdown game. I'm going to go Packers 28-14. And Jordan, give us your key thoughts about the game, and then your final score prediction, and then your Twitter questions. Can you handle all that?
We wanted that order. All right. I think I got it. When it comes down to this game, guys, you mentioned slowing down the rush with Zeke. I mean, it's clearly the key. If they can limit him, I mean, I'm just repeating what Dusty was saying, but it's true. If they can take Zeke out of the game, I mean, that increases our chances of winning, you know, so much. I don't think we can keep him under 100 yards. I really don't. I think that's how Dallas is going to play well. I don't anticipate Dak going for over 300 and playing lights out. I think he's going to play like a rookie. I think he's going to throw a few passes that can be picked. I think he's going to make some questionable decisions. With Zeke behind that line, I mean, you talk about a rookie having a couple weeks off. He hasn't played meaningful minutes since week 16. That doesn't matter. All that means is that he's rusted. And the Packers just played a tough game just yesterday. That's going to be tough for the Packers to deal with. With that being said, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, man. After this last game, after the way he's played, I really don't know if he's ever played this well. You can talk about the defenses we've gone up against. Just some of the stuff that he's doing, his pocket awareness. I mean, he's made crazy plays before, but you talk about the Allison touchdown against the Lions. You talk about the touchdown to Adams to get the scoring going. It's just like, I don't know. Those kind of plays, I don't think I've seen quite anything like that before in his career. We've seen him make all the throws before, but that pocket awareness is just stupid. And he should be able to do that against the Cowboys. I don't have a lot of faith in our defense to stop him, but I do have faith that Rodgers can outscore this team. I think this is going to be an absolute shootout. And I think the last team that gets the ball is going to win it. I'm going to go Packers 41-38.
I would love that. He
dropped a 40 burger. Yes.
I think there's going to be so many points scored in this game, guys. I really do.
I love it.
All right. So going to the Twitter questions, we have a question from Clint. You can find him on Twitter at @pack_rules. That's with a Z, 1978. He asks a question. Well, he says, I think this game is totally on the shoulders of Dom and the defense right now. A-Rod's got it at this point. What are our thoughts on his statement? I don't disagree. I mean, A-Rod's got it. He had a bad quarter, but even with that, he's not making stupid decisions. Like there were no passes he threw against the Giants that were really close to being picked off. He's not making decisions like that. If he makes decisions like that against the Cowboys, those are game changers. I just don't see him doing it. If our line can provide the protection, I mean, yeah, he does have it. In terms of the defense, like I said, I don't have that much confidence. If we can force a couple turnovers, you know, I think the Packers might be able to even win this game handily. But with the way that Aaron's playing right now, I think he can outscore anything that the Cowboys can throw at us.
Yeah, I'd agree. Aaron is way too on point right now to really be worried about. And really, it's just for the defense. It's just if they can make a play or two to just like take away that edge. Like if this goes at all how we're thinking it will, it'll be pretty reminiscent of that 2009 playoff game against the Cardinals, where just everybody's putting up points at will. I would not be shocked by that at all. But the Cardinals made one more play. They got one extra turnover, and that was the difference.
If the defense can do that, be that difference, just make that one more play, then yeah, I'd say that's our key to winning. So yeah, I'd say a lot of this is
You know what's really insane about this run by Rodgers, and Jordan, you kind of mentioned it. Like, I talked earlier about how the Packers seem to get, like, all season, that defense gets two or three chances every game to get their hands on passes to pick off, and they just weren't doing it earlier. Like, Rodgers has given the defense nothing. He's gone, whatever, seven or eight games, I think eight games without a pick now. I honestly can't remember a single pass that could, like, I guess he had a couple, maybe one this past game, but it's still like he dropped it over the corner. But if the corner had been playing a little further back, I can't picture a single dropped interception, anything that would have been short of spectacular play. Like, he's been playing at such a high level that defenses don't even have a shot to pick it off. He's gone supernova. It's God mode. Like, he's been this good. I mean, the 2010 playoff run, if nothing else, basically the entire 2011 season. But the fact that he's not giving defenses even a chance to get the ball is just bonkers. It's just insane how well he's playing. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's good. And like Jordan said, I think Rodgers got it. I think he's going to have a big game. And I think the defense just needs one turnover, and I think they can get one turnover against Prescott.
I mean, that's the thing that we have talked about over and over again on this podcast is how Dom Capers has success against young quarterbacks in the NFL. And I just looked it up, and we got an interception against Dak Prescott the last time we played him. He is now on a stage that he is entering for the first time in his career. So going back to what I said earlier about taking this as a week-to-week basis, I mean, I'm focusing all my attention on Cowboys, and next week if we advance, we'll talk about it like that. But I think when Dak Prescott is entering a stage that he has never, ever encountered before, and Dom Capers' success against young quarterbacks, I think that this week could be pretty favorable for the Packers.
Guys, I have a Cowboys-related question for you. So, like, the regular season, I get. I totally get why they did what they did in the regular season. Playoffs, man, one game, it's a different monster. Like, do you think if Dak struggles in the first quarter, first half, that Romo comes in, do you think that's something that could happen in this game? No injuries, just struggles. Okay. That's what I thought.
It absolutely could happen.
Short of him throwing three interceptions in the first half, I personally wouldn't even dream of bringing in Tony Romo just the way that offense has been clicking, like, it works. So, like, he'd have to be, like, beyond struggling, like, he'd have to be just, like, Jay Cutler bad.
Not even turnovers. Say they said they go into halftime and he's got like 75 yards passing, one interception, and the Cowboys are down.
I was gonna say that's the key. They have to be losing by two scores.
Some of the struggles that Prescott has had in the second half of this season, and they never turned away from him, and they never went to Tony Romo then. I don't think you can just switch quarterbacks in the playoffs.
It's the playoffs. Like, this is not. That you've already kind of had a lot of stuff locked up. They didn't want to, like, just kill any confidence that their rookie quarterback had. But if he's struggling and his confidence is shot anyway, it's the playoffs, man. Like, I think it's too big to try to make a point and stand by your guy. When if he's struggling anyway, you go, look, man, win this game, then we win one more, we're in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't care at this point. Just get Romo in there. You don't get these chances very often.
Romo's played what, like, 20 snaps in the last 2 years? Like, you have no idea what you're gonna get. You don't. And it's not like Tony Romo is this great all-time great playoff quarterback. Like, he's had a lot of really poor moments in the playoffs, and just
I kind of agree with you that he hasn't played much of the last 2 years. He's been on this Cowboys team for 10 years. I don't think him plugging in is gonna be an issue.
This is a new era in my mind. Like, this is a new era, and I wouldn't even consider it unless, like he'd have to be personally struggling big time for me to even think about it. I just wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying they should. This is about if the Cowboys will do it. I mean, and I think it's definitely a possibility.
I don't think it needs to be about this year, though, anymore. Like, for the Cowboys, the past 5 years have been about, our window is closing right now because Tony Romo is getting older. He's getting more injuries. Like, our window's closing. now they have their future and a whole new window is opening up for them. So it doesn't have to be about this year. And
you see teams, you know, like I see teams a lot, like this happens from time to time, that you see a team kind of hot on the rise. You're like, all right, man, well, you know what? We're just going to play for the next year. Like, hey, we're not winning this year, whatever. Or you make a decision based on the long term. You don't know when you're going to get that chance. You have no idea what's going to happen. Cowboys might not make it back for another 5 years. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
I don't see Jerry Jones making decisions based on next year.
I wouldn't do it. Like, it'd have to be a crazy circumstance for me to even consider it. But I think that Dak Prescott gives them the best chance to win.
Man.
So
I agree.
Kind of curious.
Oh yeah,
it's a good question.
All right, we got one more question. This actually comes from our producer, Josh Shack. This season for the Packers, who do we think is the Packers' most improved player? Oh boy. For me, I'm gonna go with Devontae Adams. Considering as much backlash as he received from the Packers fan base, and not saying he didn't really deserve it after his performance last year, the way he has bounced back this season and stepped up in big moments, that's impressive. That has helped. You know, without his performance, even in the last few weeks of the season, being a big target for Rodgers. I mean, we might not be in the playoffs. I mean, you don't know. He's been that big in a part of our offense, and his play. If it wasn't for his play, this Jordy injury would be a death sentence probably. But the fact that he's out there and Cobb is healthy, I mean, I think his performance this season has been massive, has been absolutely massive. We've talked about him a lot, but I think he's my most improved player for this Packers team.
Man, there's so many ways you could go with this. Ladarius Gunter, Jake Ryan, Lane Taylor, but I am going to go Bakhtiari.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He gets extra credit because you never see it this way. You never see, like, he was good his first few years, and then he got a big contract and then became great. You almost never see that. It's usually they're good, they're better, they're great, get a contract, they fall off the face of the earth. Or they get a contract and they plateau. No, this man got a contract and his play elevated to a level where he is a top five left tackle in this league right now. And I say that very confidently. And he is bolstering one of the top five offensive lines in this league. So, man, to improve that much after getting paid, you get extra credit. So Bakhtiari is my most improved.
This guy's not my most improved, but just going off what Brian said about getting a big contract and improving, Mike Daniels has been a monster this year. Like, Mike Daniels has always been good. His play this year has been otherworldly good, and like, he just got paid and he's just destroying people. Like,
How is he not a Pro Bowler?
It doesn't really affect me. He should be, but I don't know. If I cared about the Pro Bowl, I'd be very, very upset right now. Writing very angry letters to my congressman. Very, very angry letters.
If people know anything about me, is it that I care about the Pro Bowl. I mean, I care about it more than the Super Bowl. So
honestly, if I cared about the Pro Bowl enough to be upset about it, I would be more upset at myself for caring about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to go ahead and say my most improved player. Brian named him one of the just players he's throwing out randomly. I'm going to go Jake Ryan. I was not high on him last year. He had a lot of limitations. He was decent in the run game. He was terrible in the pass game. Even in the run game, sometimes his first step wasn't great. His instincts were bad. I was kind of, after one season, I was ready to write him off. They had him starting inside this year. I was more excited about Blake Martinez than Jake Ryan. Jake Ryan has been just tremendous. Not only has his recognition of the run game gotten better, his pass coverage game has gotten better, the way he plays zones is better. Like, he made some plays this past week that were just dynamite. Just his closing speed is good. His recognition of everything is great. Like, he's in his second year has just taken a massive step forward that I did not see from him in his first year at all. So I have to go Jake Ryan. I really, really love what he's done so far, and I'm really, really excited to see what he does going forward.
It's funny because I'm going to start off the same way that you did with yours, Dusty. Brian said his name earlier, so that must mean that Brian knows
way a lot of information about the Packers. I'm gonna go with, I know that didn't make a lot of sense, but Brian knows his stuff, and I'll put it that way. And I'm gonna go with Lane Taylor. I mean, the dude fills the shoes of an all pro guard that has just been so consistent in the NFL, and he steps up, and he doesn't even bat an eye. I mean, you don't hear his name when he's out there. He makes the crucial blocks when he has to. I mean, the guy is just pretty much come from a position of not really having a position to establishing himself as part of what Brian said is a top five. I'm gonna call it probably the best pass blocking unit in the National Football League. So he's been playing some monster football, and we're gonna need that line to give Rodgers some time this week, and let's just really hope that we got a Packers win coming again for us. And guys, again, send in your questions. We love this segment. We truly do. And this takes us into our final segment tonight, and it is called Final Thoughts. And Brian Fanfara, take it away.
Thank you. It's been too long since somebody has mispronounced my last name. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, I'm going to start by tooting my own horn just a little bit. John just picked Lane Taylor, and I'm just going to go back to the podcast from week one leading into this season, right after we cut Josh Sitton, and I mentioned that it was going to be okay that we were without him because of the potential of Lane Taylor, and I took a lot of crap for saying that Lane Taylor had potential. And I saw it, and I knew it was there.
Yes, so Brian, tooting my own horn. Call out your haters right now.
Toot toot.
To the left. Haters to the left.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was really jealous that Dusty has a regular segment for his final thought, so I wanted one. So I am on a mission every week to find the most ridiculous thing I can find on social media from the past week. And this week, I'm sure our audience has mixed feelings on Bill Michaels, the radio host in Milwaukee. I am not a fan. If you want to know why, you can ask me. You can also ask James Corsmo of Titletown Sound Off. He hates him even more than I do. But Bill gets called out for this one. He posted on his Facebook a picture of Leon Hall just launching into the ribs of Jordy Nelson, and he defended the play. So he said, "I know you may feel that this should have been a penalty. I just see it as a football play. The defender isn't lowering his head. It's perpendicular with his body." I'm going to pause right there because Bill Michaels clearly does not know what the word perpendicular means. Okay? It's completely the opposite. If you look at this picture, it's all straight. That's not what perpendicular is. Okay? So he keeps using that word, but I'm not sure he knows what it means. Okay? And then he says his hands are up, which, no, they're not. They're actually, like, down by his chest. So I don't know what he's defining as up, but when you're hitting somebody, up would mean, like, right on that player, like, right where you're hitting them. So, no. So then he says, "I'm sure you have your own opinion, but remember, even if there is a flag thrown, it doesn't change anything. Jordy would still have been injured." Yes, Jordy would have been injured, but we would have had a first down. That drive could have continued. Like, things could have gone very differently after that. I mean, this shot is just a clear launching of the helmet into the ribs, and I'm not going to go so far as to say it's a dirty play. But, like, Leon Hall had a long run-up to get to Jordy. He knew what he was doing. And he led with the crown of the helmet. He speared Jordy in the ribs. That, by definition, is a penalty. And in the background of this picture is a ref just staring right at it. So, for Michaels to come on and defend this play as not a penalty, it absolutely should have been. I'm not going to say that Hall deserves a suspension or anything like that. Like, I don't think it was necessarily dirty. But there was clear intent and there was clear launching of the helmet into the ribs. So, Bill Michaels, you win the first stupidest thing I could find on the internet contest.
I didn't think it was a bad hit. I thought it was
a penalty.
I thought, like, it was fine.
I'm
not saying that he's right. I'm saying, like it, everything, the way he describes that picture, totally wrong. Totally wrong.
Completely.
But, man, if a safety can't hit a guy while he's attempting to catch a ball, like, you can't go high, you go low, you're mad about the knees. That dude went to the midsection. He broke his ribs. He led with his helmet.
He went to the midsection, but he went with the crown of the helmet.
That's fine. Like, I don't care.
It's not fine. That's a penalty.
I would say,
by definition, that's a penalty. Here's what he I would led say. With the crown.
If that happened, and that's a Packer safety, if that's Clinton Dix or if that's Morgan Burnett making that hit and that's flagged, I'm very, very upset. I'm very, very upset.
Who is Clinton Dix hitting, though? Is it Dez Bryant? Because I'm okay about that.
it's Jared. I don't know. It's Jared Aberderis next year on the Lions.
No, he's very clearly launching with the crown of his helmet.
I don't know, man.
So I view it as a clear penalty.
I see no. I don't like the way he described it. I take no issue with that hit. Like, I don't like that Jordy got injured. I take zero issue with that hit. I'm sorry.
I don't take issue with it per se, but it should have been a penalty by the rule book. It should have been.
It's never called. Those are never called.
I'm not saying it's dirty. Again, like, I don't have an issue with what he did. Just by definition, I think it should be a penalty.
Well, I personally hated it.
I think he should be banned from the NFL, but I mean, we'll leave it there.
Well, so should Roger Goodell, but that's an off-season podcast.
It's accurate.
All right, couple other notes. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find us as a collective on Twitter at @PTTF_podcast. Make sure you read every single article that is ever posted on our website, packtothefuture.com, or else. If you haven't seen, after last week's podcast, we launched some t-shirts. So there's links on our website right front and center. You'll see the post for that. So pretty awesome t-shirts, just RELAX and run the table, baby. Be the first in your school, job, Packer party to have one. That's all I've got this week.
So take away from Brian's final thought. Bill Michaels is a big time jabroni, and moving
that's
on.
Correct.
Moving on to Dusty's final thoughts.
Yeah, I've got a couple. So every week I look at cheapest tickets. It will surprise absolutely no one who's been following this segment that you can get divisional round tickets in Kansas City for $93. Now that's not super cheap, but that's a divisional round game for under $100, like about a week out. Jeez. I bring this up every time I talk about the Kansas City stuff, but man, like Kansas City in my mind, and maybe it's the announcers talking and maybe it's articles. I don't know where I picked this up from, but Kansas City is always touted as like just a huge, just their fan base is huge, especially when they're doing well out there and they pack that stadium. Their tickets are always cheap. Divisional round tickets for less than $100. Now, I think the Packers right now is running. You can go to Dallas and watch that game. I think it's like $160. Which is actually cheaper than I thought it was going to be.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Like, that's actually way better than I thought.
They could fit,
like,
200,000 people into that stadium? Yeah,
that's a decent point. That might be, like, that might be standing room only, like, on the scoreboard. Like, I didn't actually check to see where the tickets are, but...
But you got to fit all of those Westworld hosts into that stadium,
true.
Too. So.
That's true. Oh, Dolores.
I'm pretty sure it's $160 to stand in the parking lot and watch on.
That could be. I didn't check where the tickets are. It could be parking lot tickets. That's a decent point.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
So, you know, if you want to go to a divisional round game for decently cheap, just, you know, head to Kansas City this weekend. Go watch that game. Which, I mean, it's Kansas City-Pittsburgh. That could be a really, really good game. I'm really excited about that. And you can go watch it for less than $100. That's kind of awesome. My second and I guess, final thought. Man, so there's all the jokes about Hockley, right? He reffed the game this past week about how he's always just jacked. Now, he's gone down a little bit in recent years, but his arms are still huge. It's always sad when he puts the long sleeves on and covers those guns up. I was just going to say,
I hate winter games because he puts on the sleeves and
I feel like he should go defensive tackle. I feel like he should go sleeveless, you know, just really show what a man he is.
But I think he should be forced to wear a tank top every game.
I think that's true. Yeah, just like stripe, just super tight, like white and black striped tank top. Well, I have noticed a move. I'm watching as we're doing this. I'm kind of keeping an eye on the national championship game, which is going tonight. The ref in this game is massive, like just huge. Like looks like he could just rip telephone books in half with his bare hands. And this is not the first guy I've seen like this. Like, I don't know if Hockley is a trendsetter or if it's just a move to like for that guys are getting in shape. I've seen a lot more just super jacked refs over the past, I don't know, 5-10 years than there used to be. And I don't know. He's on the screen right now. He's making me very uncomfortable. He's just very uncomfortable. He just, it's too big. And he's like 60. I don't know. It makes me feel bad about myself that I'm overweight, but I don't know if it's kind of cool or if it's weird that like Hockey League was huge and now all these other refs are just massive, but it's, I don't know. It's something I've noticed lately. It's very odd. So that's my final thought, I guess.
I love it.
Oh, Dusty, just wait till I break down your final thought. You're going to love it. But where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Dusty Evely.
So final takeaways from Dusty's final thought. Ed Hercules is a hunk, and there are a lot of swollen referees out there. And and Jordan, what are your final thoughts?
Thank you for saying swollen, John. I appreciate it.
Guys, I can't follow that. I really can't.
Well, then don't. Let's wrap this up.
All right, let's do that. No, I got one final thought. I'm watching this game as well. I echo the thoughts of Dusty in terms of the ref. I imagine Hockey League just sitting home like, man, those, I remember those days. can't pull that off anymore. I'm just going to talk more. Oh, man. That's how I envisioned it happening right now. I'm watching this game, and there's about half a dozen to maybe 10 guys that I'd love to see on the Packers next season. I'm just saying, there are NFL guys all over this field. This has actually been a fun game to watch. I mean, no surprise, Alabama's winning right now, but it's a pretty competitive game. So I as I've said like last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't really prepare much for this particular segment. So we're at the point when people have already stopped the podcast. So
wrong. So,
I always turn a podcast off about 5 minutes early, so I'm just going. I'm assuming everybody behaves the way I do.
Promote that terrible behavior.
Jordan, where can we find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me on Twitter at JGPeck41.
So breaking down Jordan's final thought, as per usual, he never prepares, and that's how we'll leave it. And I have two final thoughts. On Sunday,
10 seconds.
On Sunday, I came across a dilemma where part of my half season plan for the Bucks lined up with the Packers playoff game, and I had to make a decision. And obviously, I watched a Packer game, but it was tough. The Bucks did wind up losing because Giannis, for some reason, didn't play with an illness, but. That was a difficult decision for me. And, my last final thought is that, I was just hanging out with our producer, Josh, and he told me that we have listeners worldwide. We have a few listeners in Thailand and Vietnam and Germany and England and all over the place. So if you guys are tuning into us from outside, the United States, we appreciate you guys turning in, and I hope that you guys get your Packers fix from us, and that you guys leave this show with a little bit more knowledge and you're entertained. And please continue tuning in, because that was really cool to hear that we got listeners from all over the world. So yeah, hopefully we do it for you guys, and come back next week when we are talking about an NFC Championship game. We are packed to the future. We will supply and give you all the Packer information you need, maybe mix in a few laughs with that, and just come back next week for another edition, and go Pack go.
Xin chào Vietnam,
Cảm ơn
Mr. Worldwide. <That's right. laughs>